Again. And you guys are on fire today. I'm proud of you. Good job. Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for the truth of your word. Father, as we open it up this morning, remind us that even though we haven't arrived, your Son, Jesus, has taken us by grace. Help us to let go of what's behind and press forward towards Jesus. We want to hear from you clearly this morning. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, exciting day today. We have a champion in our midst. Amanda finished her 5K last Sunday in 38 minutes and 38 seconds, so that's kind of a big deal. Yeah, yeah! Didn't mean to embarrass her, but it was a big deal. And then on Wednesday, she also finished her 50th Lotus fitness class. I don't know what that. This is actually how I explain it. It is a high intensity, low impact Pilates style fitness class. So she did 50 of them on Wednesday. So I made a really big deal out of it. I don't know if that was the right thing to do or not, but it was pretty fun. I was excited. But she's done a lot of cool things this week, so we're just proud of her. But anyways, today we're going to be talking about taking hold of what? Taking hold of Jesus. You know, when we think about our lives, right, and kind of where we're at in life or what maybe we have done in our past or what we're thinking about in the future, whatever it is, what are we taking hold of, right? Are we taking hold of past successes? Are we really just, you know, hanging our hat on past successes? Like, yeah, I'm pretty well satisfied with that. I don't need to focus on anything in the future. Or are we focused on past failures and say, there's no redemption available to me because of how terrible I screwed up in the past. So there's no point in going forward. We're really going to kind of be parking in Philippians chapter 3, and it's really going to paint a pretty cool picture for us to focus on this morning. You know, the desire for change, I think, is probably familiar with many of us, right? You know, we change probably several different times a year. There's nothing, you know, outside of the ordinary. We make plans, we set goals, we do all these things. And I think I even mentioned last week, you know, a really surefire way to make God laugh at us is when we tell him what our plans are, right? Like, hey, God, I'm really focused on this, and this is my plan, this is what I'm going to do. And then he just kind of points at you and then just belly laughs, because our plans are almost never his plans. Right? You know, but the Christian life is not built on self-improvement, right? It's not built on a bunch of random things. It's built on a relationship with Jesus. You know, the message of the gospel isn't try harder so God will accept you, right? It's not that. It's the message is Jesus Christ has taken hold of sinners by his grace. And because he has taken hold of us, now we can press on after him, right? Press on after him. So this is what Paul teaches in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse number 12. And it says this, not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. This is a really honest passage if you really just focus on it. Now, Paul isn't saying that he has arrived, or he's saying that he has not arrived. He says, I am not already perfect. And he says, what else? I am still pursuing. I'm still pursuing. So that should encourage really all of us this morning. You know, Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, you know, he planted churches, he did all these things, he loved Jesus so much, and yet he still said, man, I am not perfect, and I am still chasing after you, Jesus, right? After all the things that he did, I mean, we understand his past, we'll kind of get into his past a little bit this morning, but, you know, as a follower of Jesus, you know, he was there, man, he was the guy, right? And even as the guy for Jesus, he was still continuously pursuing Jesus nonstop. Because what did he say? I have not arrived yet. None of us have arrived yet, right? We will not arrive until we see him in glory. So if you came into church this morning feeling, you know, maybe defeated or weak or ashamed or broken or whatever it is, welcome to the club. You're in good company. We all are. Now, this passage in Philippians 3, like I said, we're going to be kind of hanging out in it for a while, teaches us three different truths. And because Christ has taken hold of us, we can let go of the past, right? We can lean into him and focus on him and pursue him. Now, the first thing is, because he has taken hold of us, because Jesus has taken hold of us, we can admit that we haven't arrived. We can admit that we haven't arrived. Verse 12 starts by saying, not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect. I don't know how many here might have been like, oh, man, I'm so perfect, everything's good, or, you know, no problems at all. No, Paul's saying, not that I have already reached the goal or I'm already perfect. Now, what does that say? That is humility. That's honesty. That's really spiritual maturity, right? And that's really what we want to show as followers of Jesus. That's what it looks like as we continue to grow in Christ. We're not pretending that we're something that we're not. Right? We're not pretending that everything is hunky-dory and everything is going really, really well or whatever the case is. No, we are not perfect. We will not be perfect on this side of eternity, right? We will not do anything that is going to be worthy of him, right? But he still loves us. He still died on the cross for us. You know, the world, you know, the culture teaches us that, you know, we have to look a perfect kind of way, or we have to speak a perfect kind of way, or we have to do this, or we have to do that, or we have to, you know, own this particular product or that particular, whatever it is, right? That's just not the case. That is not the case as followers of Jesus. We don't have to, you know, be strong and all these different things. No, we have to follow Jesus. And Paul's not spiritually lazy. And he's not excusing sin. He's saying, I know I still need more of Jesus. I still need more of his grace. I know that I still need to grow. This is what Paul is saying in this passage. I know where I want to go, but I know that I'm not even close to being there yet, but I know that I want to continue to grow and learn and be more like Jesus every single day. And that's really what our life is, right? As a follower of Jesus, that's what we should want, right? We want every day when we wake up, we want to be just a little bit more like Jesus every single day. We just want to continue to compound that every single day. And sanctification is the lifelong work of God to make us more like Jesus. Romans 8:29 says, for those he foreknew, all he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So what's God's purpose? God's purpose is that we are conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus. That's what we want to do. That's our goal. And 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says, we all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So here's the cool part. If you're not where you want to be, don't freak out. Because he's not done with you yet. He's not done with you. You know, we want to be more like Jesus. We'll just continue to grow and just recognize that he isn't done with us yet. You know, think about a construction site. Have you ever been or, you know, driven past or actually worked on a construction site or whatever, right? There's maybe like caution tape all over the place. You can see, you know, exposed beams and everything, you know, it's just down to the studs, whatever it is. Right? Maybe it's like a, you know, Saturday afternoon or whatever, and there's no workers there, right? Do you drive by that construction site and be like, boy, that crew failed miserably because there's nobody there. There's nobody working. No, you just think, oh, they're probably just resting. You don't think that it's a failed job. You just think that it's still under construction. That's us. We are those construction zones, and God is still working on us in and through everything that we do. He hasn't walked away. Right? That's an important thing to remember. He hasn't walked away. Even though sometimes it might feel like he maybe is kind of distant from you, he hasn't walked away. He is, I promise you, he is working. Your hope is not in your perfection. It's in Jesus' grip on you. Amen. And notice what Paul says in the second part of verse 12. It says, I make every effort to take hold of it because I have also been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Now that could be really the summary of this entire sermon in that one sentence. I make every effort to take hold of it because it had also been, because I have also been taken hold of it by Christ Jesus. So Paul presses on because Jesus first took hold of him. Yes. He's not chasing Jesus in order to be loved. He's chasing Jesus because he is loved. Chasing Jesus. He's not pursuing him in order to be saved. He's pursuing him because Jesus has already saved him. Now, the gospel always begins with God's initiative. Jesus took hold of Paul on the Damascus Road. Paul wasn't seeking him. He wasn't seeking him. Christ confronted him and changed him, saved him, and then called him. Done the same for us. If you know Jesus today, it's because he took hold of you. Right? He took hold of you and he's saved you and he has called you to do whatever it is that he's called you to do. Really, kind of in a nutshell, it's to be a disciple that makes disciples, that makes other disciples. He forgave you. And he adopted you into his family. Whew, that's a family I'm pretty excited to be part of. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. And then 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. So that's why we don't live in fear as a follower of Jesus, but we live in grace because he first loved us, therefore we can then love others. And part of that focus requires forgetting what's behind us. Paul doesn't mean memory loss. He's not saying that the past never happened. He's not saying that the story doesn't matter. He's saying focus on what's ahead. Says the past no longer controls your life, so focus on what is ahead. Amen. And as I mentioned, Paul had a pretty painful history. Right? He persecuted the church. He opposed Jesus. He had proved violence against believers. I mean, he had a pretty sketchy past. But grace taught him that the blood of Jesus is stronger than the worst thing he's ever done. Man, that makes me excited. You know, some of us might be continuing to be dragged around because of yesterday, right? Because of things that we have done or things that have happened to us, whatever it is, we might continue to be dragging maybe old wounds, old labels, old hurts, whatever it is, we continue to hold on to those instead of looking at what is ahead. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So if Christ has forgiven you, stop digging up what he has buried. Right? And he has. And I'll tell you, it can be a challenge to let go of what he has buried. Right? I mean, I'm going through it now, like trying to let go of all the junk that he has buried and said, you know what? Stop trying to dig it back up and deal with it. No, just focus on what's ahead. This also includes past successes. We kind of talked about this, right? So when we think about past successes, a lot of times, and I have been guilty of this, especially during my military career, that I would hang my hat on any type of success that I would have. Like, well, I don't need to do X, Y, or Z because I received an award for something or whatever. So I'm already good enough. I don't need to, try harder or do better or whatever. No. Even past successes, let those continue to be buried and focus on what's ahead. Some people can't move forward because they're looking behind. There's a passage, and I'm trying to remember which one it is, but it basically says, whoever puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God, right? And if you could, so that basically means if you're trying to move forward, you have your hand on the plow, you're trying to plow forward, and you're looking back, what happens? I don't know if anybody's driven, and I mean, those who have children certainly have driven and then look back, right? Like, hey, stop yelling or whatever, right? What happens? Oftentimes, your steering wheel might start drifting into a different lane, right? That's what happens when we're looking back. We're not able to pay attention to what's ahead. You know, there's a rearview mirror. Should be a rearview mirror in every vehicle, right? And that's there for a purpose, right? It you can see what is behind you. You can see what's going on in behind the vehicle or whatever. And those who know Jelly Roll, never thought I'd use a Jelly Roll illustration during a sermon, but so he won an award. I don't know what it was. It doesn't really matter for the story. But part of his acceptance speech was, there's a reason the rear view mirror is smaller than the windshield. Because the rear view mirror is what's looking behind you, but the windshield is huge. So you can focus on what's ahead of you. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. Like, yeah, we can recognize and acknowledge and apologize and do all the things that we need to do for the things that we've done in the past, but when we look through the windshield, the big, bright, beautiful, clean windshield. I don't know, maybe not in this time of year where it's clean, but that's what we're focused on, is what's ahead. Yeah, look in the rearview mirror to recognize what has happened, but don't let that define what your future is going to look like. In Christ, our deepest identity is not our past sin, past pain, or even victories. Our deepest identity is that we belong to him, that we belong to Jesus. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19 says, do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to things of old. Look, I'm about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Remember last week we talked about worship in the wilderness, right? So that doesn't mean the past is meaningless or that it doesn't matter, but it means that we need to focus on the future because God's not finished with us yet. He's not finished with our story. And Christ has taken hold of us so we can stretch forward with purpose. So Paul continues in the second part of verse 13 of Philippians 3. He says, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. And then verse 14 says, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Now that's like some sort of athletic language. That's like Amanda's language, right? Paul is picturing himself like a runner, right? Really, really focused, leaning toward the finish line with everything that he has. He's not strolling, he's not wandering, he's not just kind of aimlessly doing whatever. He's running. And there's energy in that, right? There's intention in that. And that's what he's doing. There's a level of urgency. And our life as a follower of Jesus isn't passive. Grace doesn't make us lazy. It makes us alive. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age. So the grace of God instructs us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous way in the present age. And because Jesus has saved us, we can now pursue holiness. And because Jesus has taken hold of us, we now what? We can press on. We can focus on our future with him. Spiritual growth is not accidental. I mean, you know that I do not believe in coincidences, right? I don't believe in them. I think that everything happens is because God has done something in or through our lives to make X, Y, or Z like transpire, right? I don't think that anything has happened because of a coincidence. I truly believe that everything happens because God's hand is in something. So spiritual growth is not accidental. Spiritual growth is because God is intentionally doing something in and through our lives. Nobody wakes up one morning after a month of spiritual neglect and says, well, look at that. I somehow became deeply faithful by accident, right? I don't know anybody who's ever done that. We press on through prayer, through the word, through repentance, obedience, worship, by serving others and with fellowship, through fellowship with other believers. In Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So notice that goal is not just becoming a better version of yourself. The goal is Jesus. The goal is Jesus. The prize is bound up in God's heavenly call in Jesus. So our aim is to know him, to follow him, and to be more like him every single day. You know, we have these two chairs there, these two stools up here, right? So this stool, we can say, represents, you know, the past, right? The past mistakes, our past hurts, struggles, whatever it is, right? And this chair right here represents the future with Jesus, the future that he's called us to do and to be and all the things, right? So if I'm just hanging out in the past, right, and I know that he wants me up there, he wants me to really focus on what future he's called me to, so how can I, but if I'm just like anchored, like I can't let go of the junk, right? Like the stuff that we talked about that was buried, if we can't let go of that stuff and we just continue to try to dig it up, then we're stuck. We're anchored in all the junk. So if I'm trying to come over here, right? I should have stretched before service today, right? But you come over here, what happens? You're a little off balance, you're a little off kilter because I'm still stuck. I need help. Right? You're still stuck over here. So what do we got to do? We got to let go of the past. Get rid of it. Let it continue to be buried. Don't forget about it, but don't dwell on it. Right? Recognize the past as something that, okay, yep, this happened, or I did this, or I said this, whatever it is. But let it continue to be buried so we can then very fully and intentionally be with Jesus, where he's called us to be, the future that he's called us to. We can't do that if we're stuck in the past, if we're continuing to be anchored to all the things. And this is a very real thing that I am working on in therapy, right? Is all of the stuff, letting go and focusing on what he's called us to. We have to keep pressing forward. Keep pressing forward. Focus on him. Focus on what he's called us to. Because whatever this stuff is, right? Like I said, he's buried it. And over here is, boy, pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. And we can really fully, completely focus on that. Paul says he pursues the prize of God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean we earn heaven by effort, right? Not by effort. It means the upward call of God now shapes the direction of our lives. We're headed somewhere. We belong to another kingdom. Colossians chapter 3 says, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." So when eternity grips your heart, it changes how you live Monday morning. It changes how you live. It changes your priorities. It changes your habits. It changes your speech. It changes your curiosity. It changes your generosity. It changes everything about you when you allow him to take hold of your heart. And I mean, I've talked about that, you know, a few weeks ago. I think it was the first Sunday I came back. I talked about that, of how deeply my encounter with the Holy Spirit affected every single thing in my life. Jesus didn't save us to keep us out of hell. He saved us so we would belong to him, know him, enjoy him, and live for his glory. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 says, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." So we're not saved by good works, but we were saved for good works. We all have purpose in Jesus, every single one of us. That purpose may be lived out in a pulpit or in a classroom, a workshop, an office, a home, a hospital room, or in a conversation with a hurting friend, or in the quiet daily faithfulness nobody else sees with God. And 1 Corinthians 12, it's not on the screen, reminds us that there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. And those gifts are given for the common good. It means that every believer matters, every believer is gifted, and every believer should use those gifts to glorify God on the mission that he's called us to. So we can't settle for coasting, right? We can't continue to be stuck in this, right? Let it be buried. Don't anchor yourself to the past. So what do we do? What do we do with this Philippians chapter 3? First thing we got to do is admit we have a problem, right? We haven't arrived yet, right? We haven't arrived. So stop pretending. Bring your unfinished self to Jesus. I mean, I've talked about it a lot He knows everything already, so why are we trying to pretend that we're somebody or something that we're not? Right? He knows it all. Second thing is we have to let go of what's behind. Right, all the junk that we're dealing with, all the things that, you know, we're trying to dig back up that have been buried, we just let them go. Lay down your guilt, your pride, your shame, and your excuses. And then the third thing is press forward toward Jesus with purpose. Pursue him in the word and prayer and obedience and in faithful service. And then lastly, remember why any of this is possible. It's because Jesus has taken hold of us. He has taken hold of us. And that is the best news in the world. When your grip feels weak, his is strong. When your heart feels tired, his grace is sufficient. When you feel like quitting, his calling still stands. When you are uncertain about tomorrow, your life is still held in nailed, scarred hands. So press on. Not because you're strong enough, not because you are impressive enough, but because he is holding you in his hands. So press on because Jesus took hold of you, because his grace has claimed you, because there is more of Jesus to know, more of his will to obey, and more of his glory to live for. And one day, by his grace, every single believer will cross that finish line and hear the words that we long to hear, which is what? Well done, good and faithful servant. So until then, forget what's behind. Reach forward to what he's called us to. Pursue him as the prize that he is, man. He is the most amazing prize that we could ever get, and it's free. All we have to do is say, you know what, I believe, and thank you for dying on the cross for me, because it's worth it. It's worth it. Even in the midst of chaos, confusion, and you know, all the things that we have going on in our own lives, doesn't matter what it is, everything is worth Jesus. Everything. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for never letting us go. God, give us the strength this week to leave the past behind and focus on what you've called us to. All the hurt and the pain and all the things that we might be holding on to, God, just allow us and help us leave it buried. God, you've already taken it from us, Lord, so there's no reason for us to try to dig it up. God, allow us to pursue you with purpose, to live faithfully for your glory. God, help us keep our eyes fixed on the prize of your heavenly call until the day that we, until the day that we get to see your face. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.